الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، فالحمد لله، we have reached the third lesson of الشرح الورقات في أصول الفقه, the science, the fundamentals of fiqh. And after mentioning the أحكام التكليفية and the أحكام الوضعية, the أحكام التكليفية, those things which is upon or related to that which the abd, the slave, has to do or should do or can do. And الوضعية, that which is correct from what he does, and that which is valid from what he does or she does, and that which is invalid. So that which is valid and which is invalid. So today we're going to go more into detail, وبالله التوفيق, regarding the, سلامكم الله, the أحكام التكليفية. And we mentioned the أحكام التكليفية are خمسة. They are five. And that is الواجب, المحذور أو محرم أو حرام, and the third being مستحب, مندوب, preferred, the fourth being مكروه, disliked, and the fifth being المباح, permitted, allowed. So the Imam Haramain رحمه الله تعالى, he says, in regards of the ahkam shar'iyya, explaining the ahkam shar'iyya and ahkam taklifiyya, he says al-wajibu wa huwa naw'ani kifaa'iyyun idha qama bihi al-ba'du saqata 'an al-baqin kas-salati al-janazati wa raddi as-salam, ayniyyun wa yata'allaqu bi dhawati al-mukallifin ayniyan, bima'na أنه يلزم به كل مكلف شخصية. He said, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, in categorizing al-wajib, which is the first ruling or so that we're going to deal with, al-wajib, yani obligatory, those things which are obligatory, he says there are two categories. There's different categories for al-wajib, as the ulama of usul have firmly established, taken from the Sunnah, the Quran and the Sunnah. But here, Al-Juwayni rahimahullah ta'ala, he begins with the kafa'i and ayni. Yani these two categories, or these two types of, salamukumullah, of obligation. And that is kafa'i, meaning that if some of the ummah or the people or the community, so to speak, have done the act, then its obligation is lifted from the rest. And he said that's the example of this is like Salat al-Janazah, like attending the funeral, meaning that if some of the people have attended the funeral, the obligation of attending the funeral, which is from the huquq of the insan, and the obligation now has been lifted from those as the others, as some of them have already fulfilled that obligation. That's kifah. And also the like of that is radd al-salam, and that is replying to the salam, because radd al-salam min huquq al-abd is from the rights sitta that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith sahih. Radd al-salam, and that is replying to the salam, is obligatory, but it's kifa'i. It's kifa'i, yani meaning that if one of us was to respond to the salam of an individual, then those who were attending or present, so to speak, the obligation of responding and of the salam is lifted because somebody's already done it. That is some ibadat and some obligations rather are kifa'i. And the next he mentioned, the second category is aini, and that is that which is for every single individual. Even if somebody else does it, then it is not lifted from others. It's that thing which is obligatory, like the five prayers, salah, like the five prayers, and the siyam, and fasting in the month of Ramadan. If one of us or a group of us was to fast in Ramadan, that obligation is not lifted from everyone else because it's aini. It's specific for every individual. Whether one or two or whoever does it, it's the obligation is not lifted. He said this is the two categories. He began with this, these two categories, but Al-Alama, Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he's taken a different maslak as it relates to dealing with the affair of wajib, and he's taken that which is mashhur, that which is well known with the ulama of usul when they explain al-wujub or al-wajib, and that is that we deal with it first of all, the ta'rif lughatan. You need the definition of al-wajib. So we're going to deal with this with a few points, and then we get back to the statement of al-Juwayni rahimahullah ta'ala in his categorization of the two different types of obligations. But we're going to start where others have started from the Ahlul Ilm, and that is the definition of al-wajib lughatan. The definition of al-wajib lughatan. Yani according to the Arabic language. That's point number one. That's point number one. Ta'rifu al-wajib lughatan. And al-wajib lugha mean wajaba yajibu wujuban. Wajaba yajibu wujuban wa wajiban. Wa huwa al-lazimu wa thabit. And that is something, linguistically it means something that is established and that is firm. That's something that is established and that is firm. And also, we have wajaba yajibu wajbatan fahuwa saqitu wal lazimu wa minhu suqutu shay nahu qawlihi ta'ala fa idha wajabat junubuha. Surah Al-Hajj, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another meaning of wajaba, and when it's junub has fell, it has fell, yani aborted. It has fell or aborted. It's become lifeless. It's become lifeless. So that is another meaning for wajaba in the Arabic language. Something that has fell, aborted, or become lifeless. And these are the two different meanings according to the Arabic language for al-wajib. And that is that it means something that is lazim wa thabit. And perhaps that the closest definition to that which is intended here in the Usul al-Fiqh regarding al-wajib is al-lazimu wa thabit, something that is necessary, something that is pertinent and necessary, and is established. Now, linguistically, that's the meaning of al-wajib. Point number two, the meaning of al-wajib istilahan. The meaning of al-wajib istilahan. The meaning of obligatory according to the Quran and the Sunnah, the legislation. And when it comes to this definition, ya ahibba, we will deal with this in two different angles. And these two angles that we're going to deal with in the definition of al-wajib these are the two angles we're also going to deal with other ahkama taklifiyya such as haram and the rest. And that is that we deal first of all with the ta'rifuhu istilahan, yani mahiyatuhu, yani its definition istilahan. And then we will deal with the second aspect of this definition, or the definition of it, so to speak, is the thamara, are the fruits that emanates from this definition. The fruits that emanate from the definition. Yani some of the ulama have called it a thamaratuha. Yani thamaratuhu. Yani the thamara of the ta'rif. The fruits of that definition. The ruling that is taken from the definition. So I repeat, we'll deal with, first of all, the definition in itself, istilahan. And then secondly, the definition as it relates to the thamara, that which emanates the rulings that is extrapolated from that definition. So as for al-wajib, bismillah, as for wajib, the definition is huwa ma umiru bihi ash-shari'u ala wajhi al-izam. Ma amara bihi al-shari'u ala wajhi al-izam. And that is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have commanded one to do in a mandatory form. That is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ordered it to be done. The act has been ordered to be done in a mandatory way, and in the mandatory form. Ala wajh al-ilzam, it must be done. Al-ilzam bil-fi'l, na'am, the action must be done. And with this definition, it takes out the haram, it takes out the definition of disliked, and it takes out the definition of mubah, because it's been commanded. And it's an act that has been commanded that one must do. Ma'umiru, or another definition, ma'umiru bihi ala wajh al-ilzam, that which has been commanded to be done and performed in a form of being mandatory, and it's a must that it's been done. That's the definition of al-wajibu. Amma thamaratuhu, yani thamaratu ta'rif, as for the fruits, wa hukmuhu, and the rulings that emanate from the definition, it is as follows. Huwa ma yuthabu fa'iluhu imtithalan وَلَا يَسْتَحِقُّ الْإِقَابَ تَعْرِكُهُ, as some have said. وَيَسْتَحِقُّ الْإِقَابَ تَعْرِكُهُ rather. يُثَابُ فَاعِلُهُ امْتِثَالًا وَيَسْتَحِقُّ الْإِقَابَ تَعْرِكُهُ. And that is that يُثَابُ, the one that performs this act of obligation, will be rewarded because of them complying to that which Allah has legislated. And the one that leaves it, yastahiqqu al-iqaba, the one that leaves it is deserved of being taken to account and punished for leaving it. Now this definition is a definition that the majority of ulama of Ahl Sunnah, they emphasize. Whereas you hear other definitions that they say, يُثَابُ فَاعِلُهُ وَيُعَاقِبُ تَارِكُهُ, where they say that the one who performs the act receives a reward, and the one that, salamakumullah, leaves the act gets a punishment. This is not the correct definition. Rather, we say yastahiqqu or mutawa'idun. Yastahiqqu, he's been threatened. Mutawa'idun, as some of the ulama have said, he's been threatened with iqaba, with punishment. And this goes according to the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushrak bih wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, verily Allah does not accept or forgive that partners be associated with him, but he forgives other than that
to whom he wills. So the individual that does not fulfill this wajib is tahta mashiatillah, is under the will of Allah. In sha'a ghafara lahu, if Allah wills, Allah will forgive him. Wa in sha'a adhaba bihikmihi wa adlihi. And if he wishes, if he wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will punish him. Well, we don't know this. And this, ya ikhwati al-kiram, is a radd against the khawarij. And it's ihtirazan, and being cautious of not falling into the realms of the aqidah of the khawarij. Because the khawarij says that an individual, he falls into a sin, he leaves the obligatory acts, khalas. He's punished, he's doomed. But la'a. Like we mentioned last week, that the usul of fiqh, we must use and go with usul of fiqh according to the aqidah of the salaf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. And he forgives other than shirk to whoever he wills. So likewise, the definition here has to go in accordance to this ayah, and there's that dilla, and there's ijma', consensus from Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. And that is يَسْتَحِقُّ الْعِقَابِ. He deserves punishment. Huh? He deserves it for disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he was تَحْتَ مَشِيَةِ اللَّهِ. Or as some of the ulama have said of usul, مُتَوَاعِدٌ بِالْعِقَابَ. He's been threatened with, سَلَامُكُمُ اللَّهِ, punishment. Naam. That's a hukum of al-wajib. Point number four is an example of al-wajib, al-amthila, or al-mithal, an example of something that is wajib. And that is, like we mentioned before, as-salah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and establish the prayer. And in another verse, establish the prayer and give zakah. This is ma amara bihi ash-shari'u ala wajh al-ilzam. This is that which Allah has commanded, aqimu, command, fi'l amr, imperative, verb. Allah has commanded ala wajh al-ilzam in a mandatory form, because there's no adillah. There's no proof that takes it away from that origin, because the origin of a command is obligation. The origin of command is obligation. And likewise, also a hadith as mentioned in the Tirmidhi, in the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, حيث قال صلى الله عليه وسلم وإذا توضأت فخلل الأصابع. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and if you do wudu, then make sure you do takhleel, yani of your, make sure your fingers are run through and wet, and run through your beards also, and other narrations as well. Now, and this is a command for khallil, and this is a command from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, its origin is obligation, unless of course there is a narration other than this that takes it away from that obligation, because the asl, al-aslu fi al-amr al-wujub, al-aslu fi al-amri al-wujub, the origin of a command is obligation. Point number five is muradifat al-wajib. Muradifat al-wajib are the synonyms of al-wajib, yani words that are used also apart from al-wajib in the books of fiqh as it relates to this hukum at-taklifi. So we know wajib. Another one is al-fard. And the correct opinion that there isn't a difference between al-fard and al-wajib, khilafun lil-ahnaf, different to the opinion of the ahnaf, al-fard is al-wajib. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said in the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu, hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, inna ma ba'athu ila al-Yaman falyakun awwal man taqul lahum أن تدعوهم إلي فليكن أول ما تدعوهم إلي شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله. Let it be the first thing that you call them to is the testification of the shahada. وإن أطاعوك في ذلك, and if they obey you in that, فأخبرهم وأعلمهم, in another riwayah, أن الله افترض عليهم خمس صلوات في اليوم والليل. And say to them that Allah has made fard, the salawat, the prayer for them in the night and the day. Naam. So here, from the nasl, from the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is fard. And that's the same as wajib. As salah is wajib, used in the books of fiqh, likewise fard is used. So the second one is al-fard. And also some of the ulama, they use al-amr, command. This is rare, but they use al-amr, command, as a form of meaning for al-wajib. So that's the second one. The first one is al-fard. The second is al-amr. And these are mutaradifat. They have the same meaning and end product. And the next one is hatmu. Al-hatmu. Yeah, I need to say that it is obligatory as hatmu as well. Wal-lazimu. Lazimu, from the original meaning of it's necessary. Taken from the ta'rif al-lughata, the linguistic definition, ta'rif al-lugha, yani of al-wajib, lughatan of wajib, and that is al-lazim, yani it's a must. And also al-maktub, and that's the sixth different wording used in the book, in the books of fiqh and sunnah, for al-wajib, and that's al-maktub. And that is taken from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi kitabihi al-aziz, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed. So prescribed is another meaning for obligation. الواجب يعني مكتوب كتب عليكم يعني المكتوب مبني للمجهول كتب نعم prescribed. So that's the sixth مترادف synonym of الواجب. Point number six is that, as the Sheikh mentions, the ahkam. He says that al-wajib huwa naw'an, that is two categories, and it's kifaya, and that means that if some have done it, it lifts the obligation from the others. Like al-janaza, we mentioned, radd al-salam, replying to the salam, and stuff like that. And also, an example of this is al-adhan, because al-adhan is obligatory, but it's kifai. Yani, it's obligatory, but it's that obligation where if somebody comes forward and does the adhan, then the obligation is lifted from the rest of the hadirin, those who are present, or those who are able to do so. And this is an example of that. Naam. And the second category, kama dhakarna, as we mentioned, dhakarahu al-Juwayni rahimullah, and that is al-ayni, and that is wajib or fardu ayn, wajib, that is for every single individual. And even if some have done it, then it still doesn't mean that it's lifted, or it is not lifted from others. Like as salah, as siyam, fasting in the month of Ramadan, salamukumullah, and likewise the prayer, the five obligatory prayers. Now, and then the Juwayni rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, وتعريفه من حيث وصفه بالوجوب هو ما يثاب على فعله ويترتب العقاب على تركه. He said, he then mentioned a definition after mentioning the categories of obligation. Then he goes into the definition of al-wajib, and he says that the definition is ما يثاب على فعله ويترتب al-iqabu ala tarkihi, and that which the one who does it, is rewarded, and that one and the one who doesn't do it, it necessitates upon him al-iqab. And obviously we mentioned there are two salamukum Allah, two things that we need to pay attention to, as Sheikh Muthaymin rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned regarding this here statement from al-Juwayni. First of all, is that this is not a ta'rif. Yani, when one asks us as tulab al-ilm, what is the ta'rif al-wajib? Some will say ma yuthabu ala fi'lihi wa yufa'iluhu wa yu'aqib tariku wa yustahiqu tariku al-iqaba. Yani, this is the definition where some tulab al-ilm may give. Yani, the one who does it gets reward, the one who doesn't do it gets a punishment. That's not correct. That's not a ta'rif, that's the thamara. So here he says ta'rifuhu, but really it is a thamara. This is the thamara. This is the hukum. This is the hukum. This is the ta'rif bil hukum. Yani, this is the hukum of al wajib. This is the hukum of al wajib. That's the point number one. And point number two, Shaykh Muthaymin rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, al awla an yuqalu yastahiqu al-iqaba. Because here, al-Juwayni rahimahullah ta'ala, kama taqra'un wa tarawun, he says, wa yatarattabu al-iqabu ala tarki. Yani, and the one who does it, it necessitates a punishment. He says, or upon him is a punishment. Yani, he says, that which is أفضل أولى أن يقال يستحق العقاب لأن العقاب قد يسقط بأسباب كثيرة لكننا أجبنا عن هذا فقلنا إن الذين عبروا بقولهم يترتب العقاب أو عقاب أرادوا من حيث الأصل والسقوط العقاب إنما يكون للسبب. He said رحمه الله تعالى that in a nutshell, he said basically it's better that he had said he's deserved of a punishment for leaving that wajib. He deserves it, but obviously from the rahmah of Allah and Allah's forgiveness and so forth, and other asbab kathira, other means that that punishment will be lifted from him. And he says perhaps it can be said that those who mention that he deserves or that he gets an obligation, he means that's the origin that he should get a punishment. But because of other reasons, like Allah's forgiveness and so forth, he may be pardoned. But as he mentions in Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala and others, that the importance of mentioning in this definition that he's been threatened with punishment and so forth is ihtirazan, to be clear from the shubahat and the misconceptions of the Khawarij, who say that if one that falls into a sin, he gets punished, no forgiveness, and he's in a hellfire forever. So here, ya ikhwat al-kiram, is the last point we're going to mention as it relates to al-wajib. And then he mentions Juwayni rahimahullah ta'ala in here al-Waraqat. He says al-haramu aw al-mahdhur, al-haramu أو المحظور. يعني الحرام أو محظور. He's talking about haram now. He said تعريفه من حيث وصفه بالحظر أو الحرمة ما يعاقب على فعله ويثاب على تركه امتثالا فهو مقابل للواجب العيني مثاله شرب الخمر. He said رحمه الله, the definition as it relates to describing it is danger and impermissibility. Meaning that the one, he said, that the one who does it will be punished. And the one who leaves it will be rewarded because he intended to follow or comply to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated and left that which Allah has prohibited. Now, regarding this issue here of al-haram, again, we're going to deal with a few points. And perhaps this will be the last of the ahkam at-taklifiyya we're going to do today, because I know that it's getting late over there. And the first point, barakallahu fikum, is the ta'rif of the definition of al-haram. The definition of haram. The definition of al-haram is ما نهي عنه على وجه الإلزام بالترك. And is that which has been prohibited. That action or that thing that has been prohibited and it's a must that it must be left. It mustn't be done. And in another definition, مَا نَهَى عَنْهُ الشَّارِعُ عَلَى وَجْهِ الْإِلْزَامِ. Another definition is مَا نَهَى عَنْهُ الشَّارِعُ عَلَى وَجْهِ الْإِلْزَامِ. Some of the ulama use that definition as well. And that is that which the shari', and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have prohibited, making it mandatory that it must be left. It's a necessity that it must be left. It's a must that it must be left. Like we said regarding al-wajib, al-aslu fi al-amr al-wujub. We said that the origin of a command, an imperative, is it's obligatory. Likewise, al-aslu fi nahyu al-tahrim. Al-aslu fi nahyu or al-aslu في النهي التحريم الأصل في النهي التحريم. And that is that the origin of a prohibition is impermissibility. يعني when Allah prohibits something, the origin of it is that it is impermissible إلا إذا جاء مصوغ or مصرف or except if there comes another ayat or other ayat or ahadith that swing it away from that obligation or from that impermissibility. But the origin of a prohibition or a prohibition is that it is haram. It is impermissible. It is impermissible. Point number two. Like we mentioned before, the ta'rif of al-haram, yani hadduhu, wal-haqiqatuhu. Now we talk about now hukmuhu wa thamaratuhu. Yani the rulings that can be emanated from that definition that we have here, and the fruits. And that is exactly what, or like what al-Juwayni rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions here. And perhaps he mentioned the ta'rif here generally in order to make it easy, as this is from the foundations and easier mutun as relates to usul al-fiqh. Perhaps he just generalized. But here in his definition, he says it's ta'rif, but it's actually the hukum and the thamara, it's the fruits. And that is, ma yastahiqqu fa'iluhu al-iqaba. Yani this is the correct definition of the fruits and the hukum rulings that's emanated from the definition that we have mentioned regarding haram. And that is, مَا يَسْتَحِقُّ فَاعِلُهُ الْعِقَابَ وَيُثَابُ تَارِكُهُ امْتِثَالًا. And that is that which, the one that falls into that act, yani haram act, he's deserved of being punished. And then again, in another definition, mutawa'idun bil iqaba. He is threatened with being punished for falling into that. Wa yuthabu ala tarkihi imtithalan. And he is rewarded for leaving it due to him obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that regard. So those are the fruits of that's the fruit of the definition of al-haram. Now, likewise, we mentioned before, the important point here, aqadiyan, regarding to the aqeed of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, is that the definition we say, yastahiqqu al-iqaba, that he deserves to be punished, or mutawa'idun bil-iqaba, or he is threatened. Yani, mention these, why? As a refutation against the Khawarij. Point number four is an example. وَمِثَالُهُ. An example of this prohibition, this this hukum at-taklifi, yani at-tahrim, al-haram, or al-mahdhur. And that is the example of that. It's a statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa. وَلَا تَنْكِحُوا مَا نَكَهَا أَبَاءُكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not marry those who your fathers have married from the women. Do not marry. This is a nahi. وَالْأَصْلُ فِي النَّهِي التَّحْرِيمِ. And the origin and the fundamental origin of prohibition is that which signifies impermissibility. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not marry those who your fathers have married, yani before, from the women. So here, this is a prohibition. And likewise, the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا, and do not come close to fornication. This is a prohibition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making nahi, prohibiting that an individual leaves a zina, does not fornicate, and this is ala wajhil ilzam bil tark. This is a must that the individual must leave this. Wala ta'kulu amwalakum baynakum bil batil. Do not steal and eat the wealth of each other upon falsehood. This is a prohibition against deception and theft. Na'am. At-tahrim. Yani this is a nahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, prohibition from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which leads to salamakum Allah, which leads to impermissibility. Naam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sorry, and in this salamakum Allah, in this definition, a nice faida that we can mention is the statement of Ajwaini rahimahullah ta'ala, where he mentions also afan shurbul khamar, he mentions the example of drinking alcohol, and also zina, as we mentioned, and ghiba, backbiting, with the six exceptions, as mentioned by An-Nawawi, rahimahullah ta'ala. He mentions these examples of things that Allah has prohibited, things that Allah has prohibited, in which leads to its being impermissible, because due to the principle of the origin of prohibition is impermissibility. Point number five, I believe, if I'm correct. And that is, we want to talk about now in this definition of al-haram, yani وَيُثَابُ عَلَى تَرْكِهِ امْتِثَالًا, yani that the one who leaves the haram, he'll receive reward. But the important addition to this is امْتِثَالًا, yani he intended to obey Allah in leaving that. Yani he's left that haram because he wants to obey Allah, imtithalan, comply to Allah's legislation, imtithalan, and therefore yuthabu alayh, and therefore he is receives reward. And this brings us to an important point here, and that is that some people, they leave the haram for many reasons. And they do not fall into haram for many reasons. The first hal, أَنْ يَتُرْكُهُ لِلَّهِ, is that he leaves, or she leaves the haram for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَهَذَا يُثَابُ عَلَى تَرْكِهِ. Huh? And this is the one who gets a reward for leaving it. And this shows you, ikhwati kiram, in this definition, imtithalan, the importance of ikhlas, the importance of sincerity in leaving an act, in this definition. وَيُعَاقِبُ or مَالَشُ وَيُثَابُ تَارِكُهُ imtithalan. The one that leaves, he gets a reward. Imtithalan, yani مُخْلِسًا. He's left it sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first state. And this is the state that we all need to be, ya ibadallah. In that we leave the haram with the niyyah and the intention of receiving reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by leaving that haram. By leaving that haram. Like the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ هَمَّ بِسَيِّئَةٍ فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا كُتِبَتْ لَهُ حَسَنَةٌ كَامِلَةٌ. Hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, that whoever intends to do a sin, but he doesn't do it, yani he doesn't do it for Allah, كُتِبَتْ لَهُ حَسَنَةٌ كَامِلَةٌ. A good deed, a full good deed will be written for him. Subhanallah. Look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the importance and the quwwa and the strength of al-ikhlas and sidq, the strength of sincerity and truthfulness. That is the first state, and that is the state that we need to be, ya ikhwati. This is imtithalan. Yani doing it for Allah, leaving it for Allah, leaving that haram, leaving fornication, leaving drinking khamar, leaving disobedience for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yuthabu alayh. The one that does that, he gets a reward for that imtithalan, being sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-halatu thani, the second type of individual, yatrukuha ajzan anha ma'a shuru'ihi fil fi'l. Yani this individual, he doesn't do that haram because he hasn't got the ability to do it. He's incapable of doing that haram, even though he's made effort to do that haram. And that's like the individual who tries hard to buy that ticket to go to a place that is haram, but he does not have the money to pay for that ticket. But he tries hard to do that haram, but he doesn't. Huwa tarikuhu. He has left it. He has left that haram, going to that haram place. Walakin he did not do it imtithalan. He did not do it seeking face from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, it's due to his ajz. It's due to his inability and lack of qudra. And he was making shurur. He was making shurur. And he is making effort to do the action. And the proof of this, the dalil of this, huwa qawlu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إذا التقى المسلمان بسيفيهما فالقاتل والمقتول في النار. When the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith, which is in Bukhari Muslim, that if two Muslims meet each other with their weapons and swords, the one that, the al-qatil, the one that kills, and the one that has been killed and overwhelmed, are in a hellfire. Both of them are the hellfire. The one that done the killing and the one that was killed, both of them are in a hellfire. And the companions, radiyallahu anhu, qalu, ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah, hadha al-qatilu, fama balu al-maqtul. The one that killed, okay, we understand. He's murdered. But what about the one that's been murdered? The Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لِأَنَّهُ كَانَ حَرِيصًا عَلَى قَتْلِ صَاحِبِهِ. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he was adamant and made ardent effort, and he had the intention to kill his companion. So he had the intention to do haram in killing a Muslim. But he was ajiz. He did not have the ability. So the only thing that stopped him from falling into that haram was not imtithalan, was not the fear of Allah, the fear of the hereafter, seeking the face of Allah. La, he was just unable to do it. And this individual does not get la yuthabu fi tarikhi li hadhihi al-ma'siyah. He doesn't get a reward for leaving it. That's why the addition in the definition, imtithalan, is imperative and is important. And Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he also mentions this point here, showing that the individual who has a niyyah to do haram, he strives to do haram, and he doesn't have the ability to do it, but he strives, he gets the sin now. And the third one is, أَن يَكُونَ حَرِيصًا عَلَيْهَا لَكِنْ لَمْ تَتَيَسَّرْ لَهُ. Naam. He said, and likewise, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala mentions the one that tries to steal. For example, the one who tries to steal, he makes an example of this, is the one who tries to steal from somebody's house, for example, but he doesn't have a ladder to get up there. He doesn't have a ladder to get up there. But he gets a sin because of his niyyah. He gets a sin because of his niyyah, because he doesn't have the tools. He doesn't have the tools to climb up and steal from that property. Because of his niyyah, he gets a sin. So he did not leave that haram of stealing imtithalan. He did not leave it imtithalan. So these are examples, ya ikhwati al-karam, to show the importance of this addition, imtithalan. And likewise, in the definition of al-wajib, imtithalan as well is important. Yani, it has to be sincerely left in the affair of wajib, and it has to be sincerely done in the affair of it must be sincerely done in the affair of wajib, obligation, and it must be sincerely left in the affair of haram. Naam. And then he mentions in his discussion regarding al-wajib, he said, فَهُوَ مُقَابِلٌ discussion of haram, he said, فَهُوَ مُقَابِلٌ لِلْوَاجِبِ, that it is opposite to al-wajib al-ayni. He said it's opposite to al-wajib al-ayni. Yani, it's opposite to that obligatory thing that is obligatory upon everyone else. Haram is an opposite to that. Haram is an opposite to that. Naam. And with that, inshallah ta'ala, we'll leave it today, so I don't put too much of my beloved brothers and sisters. So to conclude, we've defined the first two rules of ahkam of taklifiyah, that which is pertaining to the actions that the abd has is upon him or not, or he shouldn't do or should do and can do and so forth, and that is al-wajib. We defined it in many defined it according to the definition of Ahl Sunnah, and likewise the thamara and the fruits that emanate from the definition, and likewise examples of it has been mentioned, and likewise al-haram and its definition according to Ahl Sunnah, and its thamara and the fruits from that definition according to Ahl Sunnah, and examples of haram and the importance of sincerity in leaving the haram. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us benefit from that which has been presented. Ameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa sallam. Feekum barakallahu feek. Nabas.